Hello, I'm Professor Liu. Welcome to our live stream. I'm here with art prof teaching artists Lauren Welch and Alex Rowe. We are talking today about how to deal with art guilt, specifically towards the quarantine situation, which I think has actually amped up the art guilt more than usual. If you would like to grow as an artist and you're stuck in quarantine, we've got everything you need here at Art Prof, critiques and tutorials. Okay, before we get into the art guilt, and tell us in the chat if you guys are having art guilt now, or if you don't have it now, if you've had it in the past, why have you had it? Because it is a really particular emotion. And by the way, our spring raffle is still going on, just a few more days until it closes on Saturday. So if you guys want to support Art Prof, you want us to stay alive, please pledge. We have lots of options. For example, you can pledge monthly on Patreon, lots of super cool prizes. Like if you pledge $1 a month, you can get a copy of my book. You guys can win the original gouache painting by Alex that is in our gouache tutorial, which is a total steal for
Oh, yeah.
$150. And if you pledge $5 or more monthly on Patreon, we've got mystery art supplies. You guys can actually win one of the cat drawings by Lauren in our cat drawing tutorial, which is super cool. And you know what, guys, if you can't support us with a donation, just spread the word. Tell people on Instagram that we're awesome and they should all join the Art Prof family because that's where all the cool kids are. So we would really appreciate that, you guys. Okay, so let's talk about this topic of art guilt. Lauren, are you having any art guilt right now? And if you are, why are you having it?
Yeah, so during this quarantine, during this pandemic, I have been in school this entire time, and it's my first semester in my MFA, and this is really like this chance. You only get one MFA. I'm supposed to be meeting people and really like making some connections and like changing my entire practice. And this is supposed to be this like rite of passage into this like really professional career as an artist. And bam, the pandemic hits, and I'm not eating the veggies, going to all the art openings and hanging out with people, meeting new artists. I don't have a studio. I'm working from home now in our little living room. And I am making work. I am still making work somehow by the skin of my teeth. I've managed to like produce paintings, which is more than some people can say, and I realize that, but I'm not working up to the level that I generally see myself as, how I saw myself in undergrad, where I would just be like producing all the time. Like it's become a lot harder, and I've even had some situations where I had to be like, hey, professor, I need to extend this deadline, or I really don't have this work ready. I just can't make it happen. So it's really made me feel like I really am conscious of my limitations right now. I feel a little bit powerless to the larger situation, to the emotions that causes. I just feel bad sometimes, and I can't make the work when I'm feeling so bad.
Sterling Richards is saying, I feel guilt on days I don't produce art. And Annie is saying, what do you mean by art guilt? Maybe I missed the definition. I don't know that there's necessarily a definition, but for me, it's just feeling bad that I'm not doing something as an artist. Whether it's, oh no, my Instagram is dying, or oh, I haven't made anything I'd like for a while. How would you define art guilt, Alex?
Yeah, I think it's for me, art guilt is when I'm enjoying any moment in life, and then that thought comes in of like, why aren't you making art? I think that's the best way that I've found to put it.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, just like, oh no, how dare you watch a movie or like read this book or like work on another hobby? It's like you should be sketching right now.
I have art guilt, but it's not about my studio practice. It's actually about art prof. Like, for example, we now have, as some of you know, this wonderful Discord server that I just love. And honestly, I have to keep myself out of there some days because if I don't, an hour just disappears, and I have so many
Oh,
other things
yeah.
that I really need to get to right now because we have the spring raffle, we have the art prof graduation event, we have a lot of stuff going on. But I feel guilty that I'm not responding to more people because people are posting really great stuff in the critique channels, and I'm like, oh, I need to do more, but then I got to do the YouTube. It's really hard because I feel bad about those things. Now, Alex, are you experiencing art guilt right now that's specific to the quarantine or not?
I think I'm the old phrase, like, by the grace of goodness, I'm not. I think because a lot of artists that I look up to talked about this art guilt during quarantine, before it hit me, so I was ready for it. Where, like, artists I admire on Instagram were saying, like, by the way, all of the progress videos I'm posting, those are old videos I made a month ago. Like, I haven't picked up a paintbrush in a month because I'm so stressed and scared and anxiety ridden. And it's like, I just need this time to, eat junk food and not get out of bed for a little bit. Like, it's that real talk of, like, a lot of people went through minor depression at the beginning and even now in the COVID thing. And I think it's very unfair for us to demand that same level of work from ourselves. Like, I've been working on the same painting for 9 weeks now, and I haven't touched it in 7 weeks. Like, and it's just kind of being okay with myself of, like, I'll get to it when I get to it. But yeah, like, there's a lot of, let's say, extracurricular things going on right now.
Alex, I feel like you sort of did a preemptive strike on your art guilt in that you acknowledge that, okay, this is probably going to happen, but maybe it would be better for me to recognize that there is a global pandemic right now and maybe nothing is normal. And it's okay if I want to watch a Michael Fassbender movie in the middle of the day, if that makes me happy. I have not done that yet because art prof is keeping me too busy. But trust me, after the raffle and after the art prof graduation stream, here I come.
No, there's a really good friend of mine, and she went to art school with me, and then she's now working in the healthcare field, and she's been doing daily quarantine diaries as a comic, and they're one beautiful, but she did a really good one on this where it was an allegory where it was the sinking of the Titanic, and the people were huddled on the lifeboat, floating away into cold Arctic water, and one of them said to the other one, now would be a really good time to write a novel. Like, and it's just like, we are in unique circumstances.
Yes. Oh,
Each
that is such a. Oh, that. Yes, that bothers me so much. I have had less so professors, but definitely people in my life be like, oh, well, artists always make the best things in like the times of crisis. Like, this is where you're gonna put out your oeuvre. And I'm like, nope, I am going to be making drawings of my socks, and
Yes.
that is what I'm going to be doing. And I'm not going to pull like a Miro and change my entire practice. I don't want to set that expectation for myself.
No, yeah, if I just pet my dog and play a little bit of Zelda on a day, that's a-okay,
Yep.
Ashley is saying, I was so motivated in high school to be, quote, the best artist ever. Undergrad took that veal out of me. I think that's a good thing though, because what I do like about being an artist, it's not like you're gonna run out of space for good artists. Like, there's always space for another great artist. And I've always really liked that a lot. Annie's saying, my teacher sent us paints and brushes so we can keep working, along with small group meetings every other day. It's been very helpful to keep busy and productive. Wow, you've got a great teacher, Annie, that they would take the time
Yeah,
to
that's
organize that.
amazing.
I think that's a really inspiring thing. Because actually, I was talking to some of my high school students the other day, and I asked them, what is the one thing that you really wish your teachers would do differently? And you know what they said? They said, I wish that they would just tell us we're doing a good job. I just want to hear the motivation that I am doing well. Because a lot of them, I think they're so focused on delivering the content and really teaching the kids, which is great. I mean, that's exactly what they're supposed to be doing. But I feel like people really just need to be told, like, hey, this is a win. What you're doing is really fine, all things considered. Thank you so much for the super chat, 10,000 Crows. Really appreciate your support. Lisa H is saying, does anyone feel guilt for spending too much time on art? I guess I do with Art Prof, because like today, here's an example. Can you tell I've been busy? My kids didn't eat dinner till 8, and that's really late.
So
like, I'm
late,
supposed to
Clara.
Feed them at 6, and I just got so busy, and I'm like, okay, Clara, you got to rethink a couple things in your schedule. Okay. Mari Covert says, I feel guilty. I've been taking time to draw and make watercolors. I feel like I should be attending to something, quote, important. And Blue Wolf Spirit says, I watch art videos and draw when I'm supposed to be studying. And Lisa H says, sometimes you can have too much time. And I think that's very insightful, Lisa H, because technically we do have more time. And yet it's a very slow, tedious rhythm. Do you feel that, Lauren?
No. My schedule has not really changed that much. I mean, everything's being done from home, the only which, you know, I had remote jobs anyways. The only thing that's different is, like, you know, I'm now working, having a studio at home too. So the division of my time is not that different, except everybody thinks that I have more time because they have more time. So suddenly I'm in like 500 more meetings than I was supposed to. I'm like, guys, if I have to be on Zoom one more time, I'm going to die. I'm going to scream at someone. So actually that's where my guilt is because, yes, generally I'm like a very sociable person. I really want to be a part of things, but everybody like wants to have like a gathering. Like, there's so many art events. It's amazing right now, actually. There's so many little community things that have like come together. I was just watching something. I was on the Brooklyn Public Library like event talk thing, and I love that these are happening, except I just don't want to be a part of so many anymore. And I think everybody really wants connection right now. And it's weird to say, hey, I kind of want to be a hermit.
Well, Alex, what's been your reaction to the quarantine? Because I know some people are like, I love being withdrawn. This is great. Now I don't have to go out and see anybody. I mean, how has it affected you in terms of just your work rhythm?
I think for me and... why I think it's very easy to be uncharacteristically gentle with myself for not producing artwork is that, like, my other career of, like, working in food service is extra challenging in that way where, you know, like, there's a lot of people that come in and confuse me for, like, a senator, and so they'll shout at me about legislation I should pass. But I don't have that power. And so, like, I'll come home and have to deal with a lot of that by day. And so then I'm just exhausted when I get home.
Yeah, well, I think you're in a different situation, Alex, because you are working physically at the shop, right? You actually are going in to work. Yeah, that's very different because I really am at home because teaching at RISD, I'm doing all of it remotely. And I'm actually getting major cabin fever, which is driving me a little bit up the wall. I'm trying to get out the door, but it's hard because there's just so much going on right now. Kate Chandler says, sometimes I feel guilty creating because I have a lot of people who are supportive. I wouldn't be able to do it without them. I want to do my best for them as well as myself. Well, Alex, you brought this up actually the other day when we did the stream about imposter syndrome, about feeling like this guilt that you did not live up to other people's expectations. Do you have that feeling sometimes?
I think that's another one in that got to go through my file of like things I've worked out through therapy. I think the solution for that one for me became like projecting those thoughts onto other people I cared about. Like that guilt of like, oh, like I'm letting, say, like my supportive family down who really encouraged me to follow art. And then having that thought of like, well, what about, say, your like younger cousin, you know, your 13-year-old cousin, like they're a really good dancer. Like, are you gonna care about them less if they don't pursue dance? I'm like, no, not at all. They're still my favorite cousin. You know, it's like giving yourself that breath to realize, like, no, like, these people still care about you.
Lauren, do you ever feel like guilt about disappointing somebody, maybe a friend or a family member or a mentor or a teacher?
Oh yeah, definitely. All the time. Yeah, that's one of the things Alex says he's filed away as something that he's worked through in therapy. I file that as something I have yet to work through in therapy. Definitely, you know, I've got members of my family who are artists who have really pushed me to live my best life in art. I think one thing actually that doesn't get brought up a lot is this, and I think it's more directed towards like female presenting people, is this idea of choosing between your art life and your like home life or your family life. There was a time when I was getting a lot of pressure to choose between, you know, like my partner and my art, as if there was like a kind of either or situation, which I don't believe in, but did cause me a lot of stress. I kind of had to put my foot down on that and be like, hey, I can be both these things. But it took a lot of like trying to work through that myself and being like, you know, I'm not less of an artist if I want to like, you know, build a life with someone. Like, you don't have to be like this singular individual, you know, you can still be like a painter and have a family.
Well, Lauren, I feel that so hardcore every day with my kids because they're home now. I mean, normally they're in school and I can work totally guilt-free. And now it's a constant series of interruptions because they need me so much. I mean, my kids aren't really young, but they're also not super entirely independent. And so it's been a really tricky thing for me where you have, I mean, there's mom guilt big time, which is probably 10 times bigger than art guilt. But it is sometimes it can feel like you have to make a choice. And sometimes one thing suffers or the other, where I'm just like, okay, goodbye, art time. My kids need me. I gotta deal with that. And it's hard. I think those decisions are not easy for people to make. Art is Kalai says, for me, it's the opposite. Always wanted to do art, but kept busy with work and squeezed in the art time. Now my work has become impossible. I have total guilt-free art time. I'm loving it. That sounds like awesome. I wish I could have that. There's just so much guilt in so many places in our lives. So, Alex, what about you and friends and family and people in your life? Do you feel like you've had to choose sometimes or?
Yeah, I think that I think for a lot of that it was about like kind of like Lauren said, like putting my foot down of like, no, like I declare like I want them this way. I want both. And it's like, yeah, like a lot of that was just kind of like demystifying and humanizing like great masters of art and finding like in this vein, they too had like side hobbies and loves and families, you know, like I don't know. I was lucky enough to see like the Monet exhibit in Denver not too long ago. And like it was a beautiful like collection of his whole life's work and a lot about his work as a gardener in his own private personal garden. And it's like, oh my God, like at the end of his life, he spent more time like gardening than he did painting, you know? Like that, yeah, I think getting okay with artists being multifaceted people is. I think it's a big thing.
Oh, you worded that so beautifully. Artists are multifaceted
They
people.
absolutely are. We have so many parts of ourselves. I don't think we're that one-dimensional. I think there's a lot going on. Paula Acuna says, I feel guilty from working on my school projects illustration, not working on what I want to develop. So I try to make projects that make me grow as an artist. Well, that's a great topic. Like, Lauren, do you ever feel guilt about what you should be working on versus what you do to indulge yourself as an artist?
Oh yeah, you know me. Well, it started as this, Clara. And actually, here is a tip. We're talking about like all the guilts that we have, and like this actually might be like a tip for dealing with the guilts. I draw a lot of birds. I draw a lot of birds. I'm a bird watcher, and I always considered these drawings as not serious things, as birds are not serious subjects for serious paintings. So, this was just a thing that I did to blow off steam on the side. And it got to a point where I was like, oh, I'm doing this so much. Like, what if this actually is my content? Like, what if this, if I'm doing it this much, that there, that means that there's an interest there that's beyond just a, a relaxation blowing off steam thing. This might be like actually the thing that should be the main art that I'm making. So I have absorbed it into my paintings, and I think that it's really been for the better. I think that the paintings, as a result, have become more engaging in different ways because I'm engaged with the material. So, like, if you find yourself doing something you're not supposed to be doing, maybe it is the thing that you're supposed to be doing.
It is funny the way that works out, Lauren, because you did that sock painting a ways back. And I know for you, that was one of those, not to say indulgent, but pieces that you weren't maybe taking as seriously as some of your other longer term projects. And honestly, that's one of my favorite paintings that you've ever done. I mean, you sort of can't hide that genuine joy when you're really letting yourself do something that you love. Thank you so
Oh, the
much
sock
for the
thing was
super
awesome.
chats, Anna Weider and Tammy Dreiger. We really appreciate your support. We can't do this without you guys. So, Alex, what about this artistic growth guilt? As in, oh, I'm just doing what I'm already good at. I really should be trying more. Do you ever have that feeling?
Yeah, like the comment we got about like homework versus like passion work, like that really hit a chord where it's like that moment where it's like I almost had to like will myself like this is just to build my skill set. This is later is going to be for the later work that I really want to work on. But I think yeah, like Lauren hit the nail right on the head of just that thing of like, and I think it's like yeah, for me, that thing of just make the work that you feel passionate about and like let the work almost guide you. Like, oh, if I spend my time doodling this all the time, like that's something that my mind is telling me I should explore, I should dig deeper into.
David Pena is saying, I watch Art Prof when I'm supposed to be studying my music pieces. Oh, so we are the source of your guilt for not studying your music pieces. I'm not trying to encourage you not doing your work, but that sort of makes me really happy in a way. Zafamo says, I definitely deal with too much time. The empty space in my schedule is so overwhelming. I spend a bunch of it worrying about how I should fill it, and I end up stressed out and not really doing much. I'm having trouble with that too, Zafamo, because oftentimes, for example, this semester at RISD, my RISD day was Friday. And my RISD day was a day to just give up on doing anything else. And just that's my RISD day. That's the day I go down and I have lunch with one of my colleagues in the department. That's the day I talk with students. And it's my little vacation from my studio work and also working on Art Prof. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love working on Art Prof, but sometimes you need to switch it up and get a little bit of distance. And I appreciated that. And now it's like I wake up and I'm like, why is my department head emailing me? It's Saturday. And I'm like, oh no, it's Wednesday. So I do feel that there's a blur in the days that I'm really having trouble with. Are you guys having trouble with scheduling, Lauren?
Again, no, because my schedule, everything is scheduled out for me. Actually, I'm gonna amend that a little bit. It is now the summer. My classes are over. I am starting to get into that mindset of, oh, I can stay up until 2 or 3, and now it's the next day. And when is the end of the month? Now I have some structureless time. So it might get a little bit scary. But up until this point, I think my issue was more that I had so much structured time that I didn't have unstructured, like, play time, where I could do something that was not immediately like focused on like some kind of work. And I think that that's necessary to at least have, a block, a structure block of unstructured time where you can kind of mull on the things that you you know, that you like to create. Playtime, really. Like, everybody needs it.
Blue Wolf Spirit is saying, Alex, which senator are you confused for?
Hopefully none. But no, I mean that in the way of, like, people with, you know, all coming in without masks during the pandemic and, like, kind of shouting at me that it's like, you should make this illegal. I'm like, I just work here. That was what I was referring to.
Although people are telling us that Alex looks like Nicholas Hoult. If you guys know who that actor is, he played Beast in the X-Men movies. Personally, I think Alex is way cuter, but anyway.
Thank you all.
You need an English accent.
That'll just be the icing on the cake. Brenda Maria Fernandez says, isolation is draining me creatively. Honestly, guys, the only thing that is keeping me on track is ArtProf and these streams, because this, I can't flake out on it. There are definitely things where I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do that today. And then I'm like, I don't feel like it. It's fine. You know, it's like you don't have that thing that lights a fire under your butt that says, you must do this or the world will collapse. And ArtProf is that solution for me. And I think for a lot of people, they don't have that anymore. Tammy is saying, people assume I have more time now, but it seems I'm more busy trying to keep it all going at home and feel guilty when I sit down to make art, but there are mountains of dishes and laundry. I really, yes. Oh my God, I feel you, Tammy.
Yes,
I feel
Tammy.
You so bad. Lauren, yes. Do you ever have that with just the stuff you have to do to stay alive, basically?
Oh, I will never catch up. I just posted a Facebook message the other day that was like, I'm sorry if I haven't replied to you in the past, like, 2.5 months since the pandemic started, because I literally cannot keep up with my, like, messages. I can't even keep up with my texts, and the house is dirty, and I don't know. My list is like 5 million things long right now.
Yeah. I have this weird feeling where, as I said, a painting I haven't touched in a couple weeks, my kitchen is immaculate, my all of that, because I haven't been painting.
Have you seen that meme where it's like you can only choose two, and one's like, you know, friends getting A's, or like, you know, I don't know what, sleep, I think, is the third one.
Friends getting A's and sleep, yeah.
Yeah, I was always told it was having a nice place to live, having a good job, and having a good relationship, that you can only have two out of the three. And it actually makes a lot of sense. I don't really know anybody who has all three.
I didn't think you could get any of those three.
I just want one of the three. Like, can I have one, please?
Yeah, one would be nice, right? Diana Parker is saying, making art often seems pointless to me these days. That's something I have to power through and continue to work in spite of those feelings. Do you ever feel that way, Alex? That it's like, oh, does it matter if I make this or not?
Yeah. It's like, I mean, I remember talking about this a lot in art school with friends about, like, that kind of question of, like, would you still make art if you were, like, alone on the desert island, you know? And that thing of, like, yeah, like, even if no one will see it, like, it's just a, if anything, it is a way to pass the time.
Yeah.
To Dame Cute UK says, I feel guilty for my level of skill as an artist. I'm still learning the fundamentals, even though I'm older than these younger artists who make amazing work. Well, you know, I would recommend to Dame Cute that you take a look at a couple streams, because we have this whole artist wellness series that we've been doing lately, because we have a lot of problems as artists. We have a lot of issues that we need to work through, including the staff here at ArtProf. And I would say this stream about comparing yourself to other artists, I think, would be a really good one for you to take a look at. And if you want to take a look at the darker side, the one about artist jealousy, where Eloise and I are like, screw that guy. And Alex is like, I just look at it from this positive point of view that I have resolved in my own time. So however you guys want to take a look at that. Well, Lauren, how would you say to reconcile that? Because I see that a lot. I see that with students, where I have students who are 18 that are in my class and I'm supposed to be teaching them stuff. And I'm like, dude, I cannot do what you're doing right now. And I'm like more than double your age. It's a little different because the students are younger, and so part of me as the older person says, I'm so proud of you. This is great. It's a little bit better. But yeah. Lauren, how would you say to reconcile with that? Feeling like, oh, I'm a little behind.
Oh, man. Well, practicing helps. That's one. Don't let it get you down. I think what is helpful for me is realizing that we are all in, like, it's a dynamic world. It's not like we're all set on, like, this, like, line and you're behind. Like, you're not on a linear racetrack here. It's a dynamic world, and there are different art skills, and you might have a specialty in one area that other person doesn't. Like, one thing that I found when I was in school back in undergrad was, okay, my technical skills were really lacking in some areas, in some areas, especially 3D, but I had some things going for me too. Like, I had this, like, obsession with pattern in a way that was, you know, I felt like was mine. And I had these particular interests that I felt like were mine that I could really work with in my own way. So it's like, find the things that make you and just, like, focus on those, because those are really the thing. It's not like there's always going to be someone out there that's, like, better than you, like, one particular skill or other, but you are unique in, like, the way that you blend your skills and your experiences together.
For sure. I mean, it's what can you do or say that nobody else can talk about? For some people, it's talking about their personal experience. For other people, it's mm-hmm. a particular way that they work with materials. It could be a lot of different things. But I think Lauren's right to say that you're not just your drawing skill. You're other things as well. I mean, I think that I've done pretty well because I'm pretty good at public speaking. And there's a lot of artists out there who are not good at public speaking. And so I feel like I've been able to milk that skill that I have that a lot of other people don't have. Other people can draw way better than me, but I'm like, okay, whatever. That's fine. What about you, Alex?
Yeah, I think that, like, I mean, again, I think you two put it just so perfectly of, like, yeah, my undergrad experience, I found I was really interested in, like, small uses of symbolism in a piece to give it, like, energy. And then, like, the feedback is like, oh, like, the composition's not there, the anatomy's off, the colors are all wrong. And, like, that was me figuring out I needed to up that technical ability. And it's only now, like, years later, that I'm, like, starting to realize how to incorporate that admiration for, like, subtle things into the work without letting it dominate the work.
Nugget Nougat says, I'm only 14, already thinking about my portfolio. I'm getting guilty that I'm not putting enough effort or time into actual art classes and just teaching myself. Words of advice for Nugget Nougat, who's 14, Lauren.
So you're 14, that's still pretty young. You still have, what, like 4 years, 3 or 4 years to get your portfolio together. So the fact that you were worrying about your portfolio now shows that you're already ahead of the game, because pretty sure I didn't worry about making my portfolio until I was 17. So as long as you are practicing, like, in your sketchbook, and you are at least, I had a teacher that told me to put in 15 minutes every day and make it like a hygiene, like a you know, how we get a shower or whatever, we brush our teeth, like, do the same thing with art, like, make your little sketch, do a doodle. And even that is, like, upping your skills. Like, it's keeping you loose, it's keeping you engaged, it's keeping the momentum going. So when you do get to that point where you need to, like, really focus on doing those portfolio pieces, like, you're already going to be miles ahead. And also, you are clearly doing the right thing already by seeking out art communities. I think when you're any age, really, like, the best thing that you can do to keep going with art is to be around other artists and keep talking with other artists, because I feel like crazy about this. It's amazing. The Discord, the Art Prof Discord, has actually really been the place that has kept me kept me going over the past like month or so, despite all of this quarantine stuff. Like, it's been really inspiring to see other people making things and to be so helpful and so honest about it. It's not depressing, like Instagram can sometimes be, where you see people churning out stuff, but everybody's trying to look their best. Like, it's really nice to troubleshoot things with your arts community, and you can do that at any age you want to.
I would say, you guys, if you have not been in the Discord, I have to tell you, I've just been blown away by how respectful and kind and encouraging people are in there. I feel that it's a very safe space. I don't feel that it's a place like Instagram can be, where people really are judging you for who you are. And so I'd really recommend, if you guys want to join the Discord, it's in the invite link is in the video description below. So check that out. Kate Chandler is saying, I feel guilty using my good supplies. I'm finding it's blocking me a lot lately. I'm making a lot of itty bitty sketches, adding to my feeling of claustrophobia in quarantine. Do you get that? The guilt of the good art supplies, Alex?
Yeah, that was like right when I started to get like the nicer materials, like half, like none, like halfway through my junior year of college, like really, like okay, this is let's devote yourself to this medium. It was like a level of timidness came with my brush strokes. Like I was worried the brush would break almost. So yeah, that's normal. I think it's that transition phase between like worse materials to better materials and just getting used to like, oh, this bike is so expensive kind of thing.
Yeah, I feel like my solution to it, Alex, is don't use nice art supplies. Because then I'm like, oh, this brush is really crappy. It doesn't matter if I screw it up. And so sometimes there is a comfort in using supplies that really are not that great. On the other hand, oh, there's nothing like certain supplies, like Winsor & Newton professional oil paints. Yum. I mean, if you can
Oh, yeah.
afford them, do it. I know that not everybody can. But sometimes I say to students, look, if you can't afford a whole set, just buy white, because then at least the white that you're using is like really good quality. So sometimes that's a good way to think about that. And as your muse is saying, this is what I like so much about your communicating. I find it easy to learn from you. You're right. A lot of people don't say what they're doing. Yeah, and you know what I like about the Discord too is that people aren't posting stuff that looks really super polished and amazing. I mean, half of our critique channels are called works in progress. And so I feel like that competition that you oftentimes see on Instagram to who has the best, most polished, finished piece, we don't do that in the Discord. So I think that's a really great place for you guys to hang out. David Pena is saying, I'm guilty of having more motivation to work on art pieces that are commissioned than in personal pieces. Okay, Lauren, what about that? Because I know you do quite a few commissions now and then, and you also have stuff you're doing for school. So how do you reconcile between those two worlds?
Well, first of all, if you guys are interested, tomorrow we have a stream on doing commissions. So you should tune into that. But actually, I really love that comment, David, because I actually feel the opposite a lot of the time, and I feel guilty about that. Like, I prefer doing personal pieces over commissioned pieces, and I'm like, oh, what's wrong with me? I must be like a person that hates people or hates business or something. That's not actually the case. It's just trying to figure out what it is that you're comfortable with, and sometimes having that structure of a commissioned piece and having someone else dictate, what the idea is going to be, and you working around that. Sometimes that is a really useful and generative and creative way of working. I know a lot of illustrators, when I was at RISD, a lot of illustration students, they did really, really well at that. And they came up with some like really fantastic pieces that were just based off of these prompts. So I think that's a totally fair way of working. And if you want to get into making more personal pieces for yourself but are uncomfortable doing that, maybe you discuss doing like a kind of collaboration with someone where they help you by giving you a prompt and you can throw ideas back and forth. And just, what I'm saying is look at why you like doing commission pieces more and take all the good parts about that and see if you can apply that to your personal work if you want to.
Brenda is saying, I honestly can't believe I just found out about Art Prof last week. I'm so happy and grateful for what you do. Well, welcome to the Art Prof family, Brenda. That is so wonderful that you just recently found us. I'm really glad to hear that. Sterling Richards says, a painting teacher told me, quote, your first few paintings will be your most expensive and your worst, and you're just going to need to accept that. That's good advice. I really like that. I mean, Alex, do you ever feel bad when you're not knocking it out of the park as an artist? That, oh man, it's been a while since I've made something really good. Do you feel guilty about that?
I do. We're in the way, like, hopping on board the commission conversation. Like, I feel bad that, like, it takes a lot of extra work to make my commissioned works, you know, like home runs, you know, whereas like personal work, I'm like, yeah, blah, it's still fun. And then I make it. Whereas like commission work, I'm like, right. Got it. Like, good work. Got it. Like, and it's a lot harder. Yeah. I don't know if that's because of like the lack of freedom or illusion thereof or something, but yeah, it's just something that I can't quite get in gear with.
I think Katie Lee brings up a good point on that, Alex. They say, I only take commissions if the person likes my style and let me take some liberties with the project. I feel like that's a big one. In my own experience with commissions, I'll get a lot of people who understand, maybe they know me from somewhere else, but then they're like, oh, you're an artist. Oh, you can do anything as an artist. And so the first question I always ask is, have you looked at my portfolio? If not, here is a link. Does what you're envisioning fit what I can make? Because this is what I can make.
Thank you.
That's helpful.
Thank you so much for the super chat, Damara Carpenter. We really appreciate your support. Damara says, I'm so glad to see from the art gods. Oh, geez, you guys just know exactly what to say to boost our egos. Damara's asking, how do I use Discord? So Discord, if you go down to the video description, there's an invite link. So if you click on that, it will take you to Discord. And then there's a little bit of setup. It's pretty easy. It tells you exactly what you need to do. And it's basically like a big forum. Like, if anybody here uses Slack, there's channels with different topics and you can post in different places. So yeah, and Lauren and Alex and I, we will be on Discord in about, I don't know, 10 or 15 minutes or so to chat with you guys, because oftentimes there's questions that you guys ask during the live that we just don't get to. And that's a really nice way for us to be able to do that. Marguerite says, I feel guilty for not creating enough finished pieces. I make one piece a month tops. I draw in my sketchbook a lot. Feel like my ideas should be more diverse and creative. Do you feel bad, Lauren, when you don't make polished finished work?
Yes. Actually, it's one of the reasons why I'm so bad. You know how our number one, not our number one rule, but one of our big things that we talk a lot about in the art prof world is doing thumbnails, doing planning thumbnails. I always thought, you know, I do thumbnails, but I do like two thumbnails. I'm like, okay, I did the thumbnails. Now I can move on to the finished piece, whatever. And it's because I hate just doing the sketches. I want to get right to the finished piece that's so pretty that I can show everyone. And I'm really bad at like having a sketchbook and like putting things in it. And then someone got me, well, several teachers and several students or peers got me this semester. And they're like, you don't do like any planning. You know, your pieces would be better if you actually like did the sketches beforehand so you could make the polished work. So I'm trying to get better at it. And I think it's starting to sink in. But yes, that's it's definitely a guilt thing that I don't have something finished.
Two Dame Cute says, I was a waitress and I served actor Nicholas Hoult. Yes, Alex looks a little like him. Well, there we go. We have real life proof that there is definitely a resemblance. We will be in the Discord in a little bit because Lauren, Alex, and I have to, you know, have secret art prof meeting. And so meet us over there if you guys want to chat. There is a channel called Post Stream. So we will be in there because that's a new channel that we just recently set up. And remember, you guys, few more days to donate to the Art Prof Spring Raffle. You guys want us to keep doing this. We need to change something because I am going to die from all of the administrative work that I'm having to do right now, and I really, really need some backup because right now I'm barely keeping my head above water. And there's so many cool things we can offer you guys. We can do more live streams. We can have more three-person streams. I've got three tutorials in the can that have just been sitting in my laptop because I just can't get to it. My life is spreadsheets right now, and we need to hire administrative staff to make that go away. Subscribe.
We need
go
better
ahead, Lauren.
Tech. We need better tech, too. That's what we...
Yes.
You need tech for Jordan.
Yes, Jordan really needs a laptop. Actually, Lauren, you really need a laptop. Your laptop is, like, older than my kids.
It's bad.
It's really, really bad. Yeah, we need tech. There's so many things we need. Oh, my God. Anyway, we want to produce more stuff for you guys. We love this. But we're barely keeping our head above water financially, and we need the support. Anyway, speaking of support, thank you to our top Patreon supporters who make everything possible for us, who keep the lights on. We hope you guys will consider supporting us. Everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. Love hearing your comments. We will be on the Discord very soon. Everybody, stay safe. We'll see you next.